You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, episode number 73. Knowing the same tricks a con man knows is the best way to protect yourself from him. Naru.
This is the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, where we teach you the top strategies, tactics, and growth hacks that every indie filmmaker needs to know to make money with their films. We are the podcast that puts the business back into show business. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Filmtrepreneur Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success. The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. Now, guys, before I get into today's episode, I want to kind of address something from last week's episode, because last week's episode with Jeff, the ex-distributor turned filmmaker, was explosive, to say the least. It was downloaded thousands and thousands of times, and a lot of people really loved it. I argue it to be one of the best episodes I've ever done on the show. It was an amazing episode to kind of be a part of, but there were a lot of people, a lot of the tribe members out there who were leaving comments and talking about it amongst themselves in our groups. And I wanted to just make something very clear about some of the comments that Jeff made last week in regards to, it's not the distributor's fault. If you don't know what you're doing, he's going to take advantage of you. And a lot of filmmakers out there listening were like, well, that's, you know, there's, he shouldn't do that. I mean, the distributors shouldn't do that, and people shouldn't be that way. And this is ridiculous. It was driving me crazy. And I heard all of that. And I want to make something extremely clear about those comments. And I want you guys to understand something that is inherent in the human condition as a general statement. In 2007, when people were selling or mortgage companies were giving away mortgages to people who had no business getting mortgages so they could just line their pocket, knowing full well that these people would default in this predatory practice, do you think they should have done something? Of course they should have, but they were in it for themselves. You know, a lot of times banks charge fees, credit cards. They wean you in. They kind of like a siren, bring you in with these, oh, you know, you get this free and you get that free, but when you don't pay, boom, 30% interest rate. Should they do that? Absolutely not, because they don't care about you. They're in it for the money. So to hold film distributors in a different light than the rest of the business community and the rest of the world in general is a mistake. Is it morally reprehensible what these predatory film distributors are doing? Absolutely. Should they try to create agreements that are evenly or at least a little bit more beneficial to the filmmaker, as opposed to themselves and themselves only, thinking about the future of helping filmmakers sustain themselves in our industry? Absolutely they should. But there's no one telling them that they have to, unfortunately. So the only weapon you as an independent filmmaker have is knowledge, is education in regards to what predatory film distributors do, what that side of the business, how it runs, everything is the only weapon you have to protect yourself from predatory film distributors and predatory film aggregators. So I wanted to make that very, very clear. Yes, they should do things differently, but you need to prepare yourself for when they don't. Now, today's episode, which leads us right into today's episode, the Netflix scam. Now, it was brought to my attention recently that there were some pop-up film aggregators. Can you believe this? Pop-up film aggregators who were targeting independent filmmakers and trying to get them to use their service to get on the different platforms. Now, the thing that I noticed about a handful of these that I was actually looking at was that they were promising access to Netflix, Hulu, Tubi, Pluto, and a couple of other big SVOD and AVOD platforms. And sure, they also included Amazon and iTunes in there as well. But when they were guaranteeing that they would get you in, or at least the way they worded it seemed like they were guaranteeing you to get access to Netflix, Hulu, and Tubi, for example, I want to make something extremely clear. That is a straight up lie. There is no company, and I'm saying this very straight, I can't make it any clearer. There is no film aggregation company nor distributor that can guarantee placement in Netflix, Hulu, Tubi, Pluto, or anything like that. As a general statement, sure, some of the bigger studios and some of the bigger distributors might have direct relationships with those companies, and there might be very good chances of you getting in through those companies to a Netflix. But the landscape is changing. It changes so rapidly, especially with Netflix and Hulu and Tubi, where one month they might want your kind of film and the next month they don't. So there's no guarantees. And anyone that says that they can guarantee, have them put it in writing. Period. Oh, you can guarantee I can get into Netflix or into Hulu? Put it in the agreement. There is a guarantee. And if you can't get into me, the contract's null and void. Or I get a bonus, or I get some money back, or something along those lines. Put them to the test. Because that is the new way that these predatory aggregators and distributors are trying to bring in filmmakers into their clutches, if you will, by the promise of Netflix, of Hulu, of Tubi, and so on. I mean, I got my first film was licensed to Hulu. I couldn't do that deal today if I wanted to, if I tried, because Hulu is not buying my kind of films anymore. This is Meg. They're not buying that kind of film anymore. They're not buying many independent films anymore, or licensing any independent films anymore, because the game has changed. In 2012, Netflix was buying everything. 2020, not so much. So you have to be very, very careful about what people promise you, specifically distributors and aggregators. If someone's promising you something, have them put it down on paper. Have them put it down in an agreement. Because if you don't, if they're like, oh, we can do this and we could do that and we can get you on this platform and we can get you on that AVOD situation and we can get you this kind of press. If they can't put it in an agreement, then it doesn't exist. It's just lip service. There's no power in your hands to do anything, any sort of retaliation, if they don't follow through with what they verbally said. So have them put it down in an agreement, if that's what they're actually saying. And let me go back to a couple of these platforms. Netflix and Hulu obviously are two of the bigger SVOD platforms here in the United States. Peacock is coming up, is a newer AVOD platform that is starting to come up. It hasn't launched yet as of this recording, but they are going to eventually start taking in outside content, but that hasn't started yet. But they are going to start doing that. I have a good word that that is happening, but the COVID thing has kind of thrown everything into a turmoil for the entire industry in general. So AVOD used to be like, Tubi used to accept anything that you gave them, they put it on because they needed content. But this is the life cycle of these platforms. At the beginning, they'll buy everything, they'll accept everything, and this includes Amazon, they'll accept anything and everything because they're trying to build up their library, they're trying to build up their content. When there's a certain threshold that is hit, that they just have so much content, then they start getting picky. Then they even start stopping completely. They even stop accepting new content because then they start making enough money that they're like, you know what, we're going to buy things outright, or we're going to start creating our own content, which we'll own in perpetuity and not have to worry about these licensing deals. This is the life cycle of all of these. So now Tubi and Pluto are started to reach that point where they have so much content that they are now curating, where before it wasn't as much curated. Now they're curating content coming in. Amazon Prime is a perfect example of that. At the beginning, anything and everything was allowed up on Amazon Video, everything. And it didn't care about content, didn't care about anything. And you were getting paid 12 cents, 15 cents an hour of streaming time. And everybody was making obscene amounts of money. But as that world and their entire library grew so much, then now they're just starting to throw people off that they don't like, that they're not playing anything that has even remotely controversial stuff in it, nudity, action that they don't want, gone, just gone. So that is the world that we live in with these platforms. And that a company is going to come in and say, oh, I can promise you I can get you in this. And that goes for sales agents and sales reps, producers reps, all of those guys. If they say, I can guarantee you placement in any of these platforms, run away, because there's no guarantee. Now, could they submit for you? Sure. Do they have a better chance than other people? Possibly. But it's about the wording. It's about how they're planning to do. And I'm going to tell you how these aggregators, these new pop-up aggregators, are coming up. This is their business model. At the end of the day, they don't really care about you or your movie or if you make money or not. They just really don't. They are a service style business. They want to provide you a service. Now, the way that they are marketing to you to sell their service is by promising you access to all of these amazing platforms. They're selling you the dream. They're selling you the sizzle, like Hollywood does. They're selling you the sizzle, but ain't not much steak behind it. Now, the reason why they're selling you the sizzle is because their business model is based around a service-based business, meaning that they want to bring in your movie and charge you for QC, charge you for delivery, like prepping your files, possibly closed captioning, all these other add-on services, a la carte services that they can add on to you, and they can charge you $500, $1,000. That's where they want to make their money. That's where they're going to make their money. And they're going to tell you they're going to submit you to Netflix. But do you really? And they're going to charge you a bit to try to submit you to this. But are they really going to submit you? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. I can tell you from the distributor debacle that we heard from people that they were charging people that they were going to submit to Netflix and they were never submitted. So you have to be very, very careful with this. But I wanted you to understand why they're doing it and how their business model works. They're not in the business. They're not making money by you going up on the platforms. That's not where they make their money. They make their money on the encoding, on the QC, on the closed captioning. And if you're not educated in the process, they can take you for a ride. And they're dangling the golden carrot of Netflix, Hulu, Tubi, Pluto, iTunes, and all the other platforms for your movie. They're selling you your dream. because they know what you want. They know that you want to be up on all these platforms. They know that that's what you want, so that's what they're selling you. So I want you to be very careful with these predatory film aggregators and, of course, the predatory film distributors. And obviously, their business model is, hey, I'll get you on Netflix. I think we have a really great deal on Netflix. Just sign on the dotted line and give me your movie for the next 7 to 10 years and no MG up front. That's what they're using that for. They're using the dangling of the carrot of all of these other platforms to just get you locked in and basically to take your film. And you'll probably never see a dime if they're a predatory film distributor. So it's all about the agreement. It's all about the paperwork. So always look for a experienced entertainment attorney who has experience specifically in film distribution to look all over this all. Anytime you're dealing with film distributors, film aggregators, you should be consulting a entertainment attorney that can guide you through this process. All right. So I wanted to bring this to your attention, guys. It is a weird and wacky world that we are living in. And as I said, I was yelling this last year. I kept saying, guys, we are in good economic times. Wait until the next crisis hits and you're going to start seeing more of these predatory tactics start popping up. And what has happened? Exactly that. And I hate to tell you guys, but we have not seen the bottom of this by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to get worse and it's going to get more predatory when it comes to predatory to film distributors and aggregators and all aspects of our industry. So you have to be very vigilant in regards to who you give your movie to, how you're going to get paid, all of these things. Be very, very careful. It is going to get worse. This, I promise you. But at the end of this, when the walls of Rome, as I keep saying, is burning, when the city is burnt down to the ground, when this old model is finally kind of broken down to its foundation, hopefully a new system will be put in place that will help filmmakers have sustainable careers as filmmakers, because they're actually getting paid to do what they love to do. Now, if you want to get links to anything we spoke about in this episode, head over to the show notes at filmtrepreneur.com/069. And guys, if you haven't already, please head over to filmbizpodcast.com and leave a good review for the show. It really helps us out a lot. Thank you so much for listening. As always, be that filmtrepreneur. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Filmtrepreneur podcast at filmtrepreneur.com.